Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now, we're up to the Season 3 wrap-up. We just finished off with Best of Both Worlds Part 1. Season 3 is now in the books, as far as this podcast goes. So as I've been doing for the past couple seasons, I wanted to give some thoughts and opinions and sort of a general overview of where the season went, what I think went right, what I think went wrong, and all that stuff, along with a few facts. So we're going to have facts, a sort of synopsis. We're going to have a couple little awards that I like to give out each year. Then we'll run through the top five and the bottom five episodes of the season, in my opinion. So anyway, let's get started with an overview of season three. So what happened, huh? That's basically the general takeaway that you have to wonder about when you compare going from season two to season three of The Next Generation. You know, there's only a break of a couple months in between the seasons of a show like this. They usually wrap in like June and come back in September, something like that. So it's really pretty shocking when you go back and you watch the Shades of Grey episode, which is the last episode of season two, and then come back and watch Evolution. Evolution, first episode of season three isn't even really that great of an episode, but it is light years better than Shades of Grey. Everything is different here. You know, it starts off with the new intro. The new intro has changed from instead of the ship exiting the solar system, which is what the credits used to do in the first couple seasons, now we're coming in from the Milky Way. You know, it's a small change, but it makes it the symbolic nature of it would be that, you know, the world is sort of expanding. You're now dealing with bigger things outside of our own solar system. And so the intro has changed there. I mean, that's just the lightest thing that you'll notice. And then after that, you notice the new costumes, you know, the new uniforms, you notice the sort of better direction. You notice the acting has all come together. It really feels like a totally different show. And it's shocking to me that this happened over the course of a couple months. Most of this is obviously going to be due to the writing team having a huge mix-up, or a shake-up, I guess you'd want to say, in the end of season two going into three. A lot of the old guard of the writing team that were there the first couple seasons left. This season three is when Ron Moore and Rene Echevarria, or however you pronounce his name, came on as spec writers. Melinda Snodgrass is still there. Richard Manning and Hans Beimler are still there. Ira Bear appears this time. And, of course, Michael Piller is arguably, I guess, one of the bigger additions. He is now the head writer on this show, replacing Maurice Hurley, and sort of taking control of the writing room. So this is when the Star Trek writing team that would eventually go on to the rest of TNG and Voyager and Deep Space Nine, this is when it really starts to form. A lot of these people coming in around this point are going to continue with the franchise for the next decade or so, at least. And so this is a huge change from the original group, who, if you've watched the documentary coverage that me and Clay did, weren't the happiest of crowds, weren't very pleased with the way things were going. The production was very bad. So Michael Piller, a huge stabilizing force, comes in, gets new writers going, starts accepting spec scripts from non-staff writers and using some of the best ideas that get submitted to them as the basis for episodes. And that's also how Ron Moore and Rene Echevarria were hired, through the spec script process. They brought Crusher back. Crusher returns to somewhat a little bit of fanfare. I guess they mention it, which is better than nothing. They don't mention Pulaski, what happened to her, but the cast feels like it's settling in. Gates McFadden has returned, obviously. He brings back Crusher, who is probably going to struggle a little bit through this season. And on the Blu-ray, she brought up an interesting point, saying that in the second season, the writers and the cast had a chance to sort of develop their characters. And Gates McFadden felt that because she missed a year, she came in sort of behind the curve and people didn't know what to do for her. And she was unsure of how to change the character as everyone else has sort of adapted through that second year. And she brought up the funny point of they should have just kept it Pulaski and brought her back as the actress, and the character might have actually been more interesting. But yeah, season three is a huge shift in terms of just the writing. You know, the plots are moving from sci-fi plot, monster of the week type stuff to more character-based. It's still sort of, it's still very heavy, not heavy, but it's still sci-fi in terms of, there's a lot of techno babble that goes on in the episodes, and everything is very science-driven and sort of, you know, a new episode covers a new problem on a different planet and everything like that. But the pillar, I guess, motto of character comes first, of whose story is this, you know, if we're going to write a story, I need to know whose story this is and how we're going to service that character and everything like that. It's really starting to make a big difference here. The scripts are becoming much, much tighter than they were. In this season, there are, on my scale of 1 to 5, there are 5 fives in this season, and there had only been 1 5 in the previous 2 seasons. That was Q-Who in season 2. So things are changing. You know, it's getting a lot better. It's, Modi always says this show is now watchable, which I totally agree with. The show's becoming very, very good very, very quickly. And season 3 might be one of the most underrated of the seasons. I think people are always going to love Yesterday's Enterprise and Sins of the Father and things like that, and Best of Both Worlds, obviously. But I feel that as a whole, it's a pretty solid season that is does a lot of things very well. And I think you have to kind of look to its favor as saying this is so much better than season 2. You know, the leap in quality between 3 and 2 is miles different than 3 to 4 or 3 to 5 or 4 to 5 or whatever, 4 to 5 to 6. You know, the jump that they made in this season is really quite remarkable. So I think the season deserves credit just for that alone. So in terms of stories, you know, we had a lot of returning guest stars. O'Brien, Chief O'Brien returned for 11 episodes, which is kind of surprising in the third season. Guinan's here for 7. Q has an episode. All those old favorites, the old standbys are in here. It's a pretty even split. I went through and tried to figure out whose episodes are whose and who had the most episodes. You know, Data has Ensigns of Command, Offspring, Most Toys, Picard, Captain's Holiday, Allegiance, and et cetera, et cetera. I tried to go through and rank them to see whose season was probably the best. And I think, just this is purely on characters who have episodes sort of dedicated to them. There are a couple episodes that you really couldn't say are anybody's episode in particular. Who Watches the Watchers is kind of one of those. The Survivors is another one. That's not really anyone's episode in particular. I tried to go through and rank them to see who had the best season. I ended up with Data. This seems to be a good season for Data. He has Ensigns of Command, which is kind of a middling episode, but then he has Offspring, which is very good, and Most Toys, which is very good. He doesn't end up as the lead in any of the fives that we rated, but he all of his episodes are pretty high. There's no below average episodes. After that, we got Worf shows up very strongly, Sins of the Father and the Bonding. Then we have Picard, Captain's Holiday and Allegiance. Starts to fall off a little bit here. We have Geordi with Booby Trap and The Enemy. Then Wesley Crusher, I put him as Evolution. 6 would be Riker. He has Best of Both Worlds. That's kind of his episode, which is an outstanding episode. However, it's balanced out with A Matter of Perspective and The Vengeance Factor. So he has opposite, he has the poles of extremism, I suppose, if you want to look at it that way. 7, I have Troy continuing her sort of weak run through the series so far. Menage a Troy and The Price. And then Crusher, poor Dr. Crusher, returning to some very weak scripts, in my opinion. She comes back for The High Ground and Transfigurations as her episodes. So that's it. It was really Data's season, if you want to look at it in terms of sort of overall episode strength. Followed by Worf and then Picard, which is pretty interesting. All right, on to the awards section. I make up a couple goofy, silly-ass awards and just try to come up with different categories that I can talk about the what happened in this season for. So, the best joke. The best joke award goes to the chairs bit from The Price. In an otherwise dreadful episode, the Ferengi make their one, probably only positive contribution to the series so far, where the Daemon in that episode beams over for the conference talks. And he doesn't have a chair. And there's a very good bit about him asking Picard for the chairs. Picard saying it's not his job to get the chairs. He asks his Klingon servant to get the chairs. He's chief of security. Well, then who gets the chairs, is the Ferengi's reply. Go back and watch The Price just for that bit. Well worth it. Probably the funniest bit I've seen in Star Trek so far. It's not like it's a, you know, late night at the Apollo or anything, but it's a pretty good bit, all things considered. The Hidden Gem Award. goes to something of an inside joke on the podcast, Russell from Tin Man. He's a character in Tin Man who doesn't seem to have any lines, but Geordi is obsessed with making sure that Russell, the engineering guy, is on top of everything, because I think Russell calls him by name like 3 times in that episode, and the guy never has a line. This the Hidden Gem Award going to Russell kind of ties into my biggest surprise to a TNG fan award, which also goes to Russell, because I was looking up Russell on Memory Alpha, and apparently he's been on the show before. They probably didn't refer to him by name. And he apparently continues on the show, and he continues on to Voyager, even getting a promotion from, I think, Ensign to Lieutenant. I don't remember this guy at all. I don't know if he has any other lines. I don't know if anything changes. He doesn't have a really memorable face. I feel like you kind of remember the rotating cast that sits in the comm. Is it comm? Wherever Wesley Crusher sits. I feel like you get a better sense of those people up there because the camera's right on him, but... yeah, biggest surprise to a TNG fan, and I guess I'm that TNG fan, but Russell is apparently a returning character who seems, at least according to Memory Alpha, has more appearances than Wesley Crusher at some point. So, back to serious awards. I think we'll go with best director for the season. I'm going to give it to Les Landau. This is a tough category to figure out. It's tough to remember particular episodes. It's also tough because the TV production schedule does not really allow for flourishes of directing. You don't have the time. You just have to get the coverage done. You have to shoot it and you have to go on to your next thing. The only screw up I saw in Les Landau's season was Sins of the Father, which I thought was directed very oddly. It has that weird shot of when Worf walks in and the camera is like up his nose and the lights are on. It's just a weird shot. Made more memorable by Michael Dorn's sort of stilted delivery of "I am Worf, son of Moog." But if you go back and you watch that direction, it's a bizarre direction choice. Although Landau did Survivors and a couple other things that I marked as memorable in the direction department, so Les Landau is going to get my Best Director Award for Season 3. The Let's Not Get Ahead of Ourselves Award. This is a little bit of retconning on my end. I think I was getting overly excited with the season, and when the enemy came around, I gave it a 4 on the podcast. Well, I'm going to retroactively degrade that to a 3. I might have been getting ahead of myself just because the scripts and the shows were actually starting to work, and I was very eager to give some high grades. Going back and thinking about it, it's really not a 4. I wouldn't show that episode to someone who is not familiar with Star Trek, which is kind of my dividing line between a 3 and a 4 on my scale. So I'm going to give it a 3. It's a perfectly average episode of Star Trek. It's a Geordi episode. He had that run of 2. He had Booby Trap and The Enemy, and they're both pretty similar, so I think they both deserve 3s. The Good Concept, Bad Execution Award. Good Concept, Bad Execution. It's going to go to A Matter of Perspective. I talked about this in the podcast, but the Matter of Perspective episode is the one where Riker goes to a space station and the space station explodes and they reenact what happened on the holodeck, which is an awesome idea. It's probably the best use of the holodeck that they've done so far. Makes perfect sense. It's a Rashomon sort of ripoff, you know, where multiple perspectives are told from the witnesses who are there and they go through everything on the holodeck. It's one of my favorite concepts to do in a narrative, is to have the multiple perspective. Sort of, I love mysteries. I love multiple perspective. So I was really, really excited for that episode, and the episode is not good at all. It doesn't really use the concept very well. The writing isn't strong enough to support what they're trying to do. So the mystery and the plotting of it is really outside of the concept of multiple perspectives, which is really disappointing. If you're going to do those kind of episodes, you have to have a strong script that really plays off the fact that you can see the different angles that everyone's coming at, and it does not work that well. It doesn't work because, A, the fake Riker, or the Riker that is not his own memory of what happened, is a scumbag who seems like he's kind of at least an attempted rapist or something. That episode doesn't fit with the character, so you know it's not true. It just all doesn't work in terms of what this show is capable of doing and the writing that is capable of coming out of the writing team at this room. It was a great, great concept. I wish it was better. If there was one episode from season 3 that I wish could be remade, it would be that one. It's a matter of perspective. Good concept, bad execution. The best script. Best script to season 3. I'm going to give this one to, dun dun dun, Yesterday's Enterprise. I think Yesterday's Enterprise has the best script here. The concept is outstanding. There's a sort of elegance to the concept that is also very, very intriguing. And that all stems from the script. And it's funny because if you hear the writers talk about it, they were just throwing that one together last minute. I think there were four or five writers that worked on it, and they all took an act and just wrote it and then stuck them together. And it's shocking when you think about how it was thrown together like that, how good that episode is. Obviously, it's probably one of the top 10, certainly one of the top 10, probably one of the top five episodes of TNG. And maybe even Trek overall. It's a great, great idea. You get redemption for the Yara character. The time travel is clean. Everything makes sense. The set design is beautiful. The production value that went into it, how much they changed the alternate timeline, is fantastic. It's a really, really great script. I don't have many problems with it much whatsoever. You could probably... Clay would argue that the Yar stuff is a little bit weaker, and I can't disagree, but I rewatched it recently, and I don't think it's that bad. It could have been a lot worse. And this is Star Trek we're talking about. We're not talking about The Godfather or anything, so you have to grade on a scale. So best script goes to Yesterday's Enterprise. The most badass moment is two here. I think it's either Data attempting to kill Kivas Fajo, or whatever that guy's name is, from the Most Toys, which is a wonderful turn for the Data character. And then you have the very concluding line to the season, Riker's Mr. Worf fire from the last second of Best of Both Worlds Part 1. I'm going to have to go with Mr. Worf fire. It's probably cliche, the cliche answer, but it's such an awesome cliffhanger ending. Gives you chills every single time, as Clay said on the podcast. Just the way it's shot is very effective. Frakes' delivery is fantastic. But I do want to say that if someone picked the Data moment where he attempted to kill Kivas, I would have no problem saying that either. I think that one's a little bit more... It's a little bit less obvious, but maybe a potentially more interesting choice in the long run. So that's it. The most badass moment goes to Mr. Worf, fire. The best scene. The best scene of the season I think I'm going to give to Picard after the mind meld in Sarek. They're starting to do this a lot as we've moved into the season four episodes. Patrick Stewart is getting a lot of monologuing emotional scenes to play, which is a huge difference from what happened in season one and two, and even the early parts of season three. His mind meld with Sarek is a wonderful the best moment in a fantastic episode. Very Shakespearean. Very, very Shakespearean. Plays to his strength. The writing comes together for him. He's not let down by that. It's done in very few takes. Really, really well done. He goes through a lot of emotional changes in a very, very short time span after his mind meld with Ambassador Sarek. And it's probably the scene from this rewatch that sticks in my brain the most and I think about the most, having just finished up the season a couple days ago. So that's it. I'm going to give the best scene of season three to Picard after the mind meld in the episode Sarek. The Must Have Slipped My Mind award goes to Sarek. Must Have Slipped My Mind. I did not remember this episode being so good, and it is fantastic. I would recommend anyone who hasn't seen it in a while go watch it. If you knew it was one of your favorites, I applaud you and your sort of remembering these episodes. I did not remember it. It is outstanding. It is wonderful. And I think it is the Must Have Slipped My Mind award winner for season three. Spoon Feed Me With Your Ham Fist Award. The Spoon Feed Me With Your Ham Fist Award goes to The High Ground. Something of an allegory for the strife in Northern Ireland. It seems dated, stupid, and the characters spend the entire episode moralizing at each other. They don't have conversations with each other. They just spew various sort of viewpoints about the rights of terrorists and whether terrorism is a morally justified act. Seems really out of place in this day and age after, you know, the 9/11 events and everything else that's going on in the Middle East right now. It is ham-fisted and spoon-feeding you a lot of morality that arguably at this point doesn't even seem to hold up. It felt very much like a season two episode and a bad season two episode at that. So that's it. The Spoon Feed Me With a Ham Fist Award goes to The High Ground. The IKEA Award for Design goes to the turbo lift design in Transfigurations. Me and Modi were talking about this. Go back and watch Transfigurations and explain to me why when they confront John Doe in the shuttle bay, Worf has to leave the shuttle bay, go out into the hallway to take the turbo lift up to get to the control panel that John Doe is at. Doesn't make any sense. I don't understand why you have to leave the room to go outside to get up to the upper level. So I'm going to give the shuttle bay in Transfigurations my IKEA award for design. I don't even think IKEA is that bad, but it's the only design thing that came to mind when I was making these. So there's that. Writer of the year. Writer of the year for season 3 goes to Ron D. Moore. He has a murderer's row of episodes that his name is attached to this year. He's got The Bonding, The Defector, Yesterday's Enterprise, and Sins of the Father. The weakest one of those is arguably The Bonding. And if The Bonding is your weakest episode of the season, you really did a great job that year, especially if you have 4 scripts that are with your name on them. Bonding, Defector, Yesterday's Enterprise, and Sins of the Father. That is a great collection of episodes out of, you know, across TNG's 7 seasons, and all to be in one season, season 3, is pretty spectacular. And finally, the I Remembered This Being Better award. You know, I watched a lot of these episodes many, many times over and over as I was growing up, and I've seen them all out of order. This is the first time I've ever watched them all in order. And a lot of the episodes I remember being better, and occasionally the episodes I remember being bad are better, like Sarek. I did not remember being as good as it is. But the I Remember This Being Better goes to, it's a co-winner here. We have Allegiance and Transfigurations. Allegiance is an average episode. Transfigurations is a terrible episode. I remembered both of them being above average. So I don't know what I was thinking. I can't blame myself. I can only blame myself, I suppose. But yeah, Allegiance and Transfigurations. I Remember This Being Better award for season 3. So let's get into the top 5 and the bottom 5 episodes of season 3. The worst 5 episodes of season 3. There are only 3 ones this year. And if you don't remember, I grade all the episodes on a scale of 1 to 5. A 1 is like a truly trash episode that I probably don't need to watch again. A 2 is an episode that could be okay but has problems that holds it back from being average. You know, if you fixed a couple things in a story, it would probably bump it up to an average episode. That's a 2. A 3 is obviously a very average episode of Star Trek. The jump from a 3 to 4 is the line where I would consider showing a 4 to someone who's not familiar with Star Trek. They're the above average episodes that can sort of serve as a useful, or you wouldn't have to explain to people why you like the show. It would be a little bit, you know, non-Star Trek fans might have a problem getting into your typical average episode of Star Trek. So 4s are a little bit above that. 5 are the ultimate classics. They're sort of, everything works in the episode and they sort of have something to say. They have a lot going on. You think about them, they usually end up in people's top whatever lists. And as Sean Murphy says in the podcast, he probably thinks about 20. I don't know if there are 20 unless things drastically improve. We've only had 6 fives so far through 3 seasons. So we might not get to 20, but probably, you know, their fives are contenders for top 10s, I think, at this point. So let's get into the worst episodes of season 3. As I said before, there were only 3 ones in this episode. There were 5 ones in season 2, and there were 8 ones in season 1. So things are improving, definitely. So I actually had to think about a couple 2s that came in to see if they worked in their way into the worst episodes of the season. So number 5, the 5th worst episode of season 3, Matter of Perspective. I went over it in the award thing. A great concept, bad execution. Doesn't really work out that well. I wish it was better. I wish it was so much better. It's such a good idea. It's a great use of the holodeck. It just does not come together. Number 4, the 4th worst episode, is The Price. A Deanna Troi-focused episode that deals with Matt McCoy coming on as a swarmy businessman who's negotiating the rights to a wormhole that, what they think is the first stable wormhole in the history of the galaxy. Turns out to not be the case. Troi and McCoy have some awkward, I forget his name, Devon Rahl or something like that. Troi and him have awkward, sexy time. He puts his hand into her hair and twists it around. It's real, real awkward. It's real cheesy. Not Troy's real chance to shine here. So 4, The Price. 3rd worst episode, The High Ground. Talked about this one too. Moralizing, moralizing, moralizing. You know, the play on Northern Ireland troubles and the moralism of terrorism is attempted to be explained in this episode. It comes across as so dated, so stupid. It's a Beverly Crusher episode. It's terrible. I feel bad giving Troy and Crusher the bad episodes all the time. It's not as misogynistic as it might seem to some people listening to this. I don't know if it's, you know, it's, they're just, they don't get the material that the other characters do. It's a shame. I feel like you could have a lot of material for a doctor on these shows. You know, they get Bones a lot to do. Crusher, unfortunately, does not have a lot to do. She has to play as a pseudo Stockholm syndrome captive of a guy named like Quinn or something like that. Quint, something like that. And she, you know, she gets taken hostage. She starts to sympathize with him. He dies. That's the end. Riker makes some grand proclamations about terrorism. Bada boom, bada bang. Third worst episode of season 3, The High Ground. The second worst episode is Transfigurations. Closing in on one. Transfigurations is number 2, though. John Doe turns into an energy being. Yikes. And then he's persecuted for it. Modi and me covered this one pretty well. I think Modi touched on a lot of the things that I find problematic with this one. It's the second to last episode in the season. It feels like they took a bunch of plot strands that were not going anywhere and were like left on the writer's board and they stuck them together in an episode. The theme changes throughout the episode. It doesn't mean anything. It feels very cliche. The special effects of the energy beings are terrible, especially in high resolution DVDs. It's just, it feels like a real, we're running out of gas. Let's just see what we've got. Transfigurations, another Crusher episode, unfortunately. Not very good. The second worst episode of season 3, Transfigurations. So that leaves number 1, the worst episode of season 3. Clay came by to help me talk about this one. It's The Vengeance Factor. The Vengeance Factor feels like a season 1 episode through and through. You have the gatherers, the alien race who dress sort of like biker mice from Mars or something like that. They have like studded leather jackets and crazy 80s power metal hair. You know, it's got a revenge plot with a woman who is trying to avenge her family by killing a family of the gatherers or something like that. It has boring diplomacy for Picard, where even the character at a certain point is sighing heavily along with us watching this episode. And it ends in perhaps the most bizarre ending, where the woman, this woman alien who Riker falls in love with, is going to kill another guy of a family by touch. She can give him some genetic disease that will kill him. She kills people by touching them. And only certain members of the race that she's in like a blood feud with, so she can touch other people and nothing happens. She goes after this guy. Riker goes down, shoots her with a phaser a couple times on stun. She keeps going to touch the guy, so Riker just obliterates her with the phaser and she disintegrates. And so Riker brutally murders the woman that he's been falling in love with the entire episode for really no reason. He could have just walked over and held her or like knocked her to the ground and it would have been fine. Instead, he kills her. You know, there's no explaining how stupid that ending is. Just to get drama, they made a character make a bizarre decision that no one seems to have a problem with. So that's why The Vengeance Factor is my worst episode of the season. So let's move on to the best episodes of the season, a little bit more enjoyable to talk about. The best 5. There were 5 fives in this season, so it made it easy. I just had to sort them into what I thought was an appropriate order. So number 5, The Defector. It's a great little suspense plot, Ronald D. Moore script, although he credits a lot of the other writers with giving a helping hand into it. A Romulan defector comes to the Federation claiming to be a small-time logistical clerk or something, with grand claims that the Romulans are preparing for an invasion of the Federation. It's later revealed that the Romulan defector is an admiral who has come across to try to prevent a Romulan-Federation war. And dun-dun-dun, the twist at the end. The Romulan admiral has been set up by his own government as a trap to show that his disloyalty, and he ends up killing himself over it. It's a great episode. It's a great Romulan episode. It's a wonderful little political thriller type thing. It really gives the Romulans a little bit of depth, even though their plot might seem a little bit crazy, and it relies on a lot of things going perfectly. It's really a lot of fun. It's a good script. It's got a great guest star performance by James Sloyan, I think, as Admiral Jarak. And has a good Jarak and Picard scene. Not much else you can ask for. The Defector, the 5th best episode of season 3. Number 4, Survivors. This might be a personal favorite. I don't think a lot of people would agree with me, but I think Survivors is one of the best episodes this year. It's the one where the Enterprise stumbles across the elderly couple who are the only survivors of an attack on a colony, and they have to figure out the mystery as to why these people survived. Turns out one of the guys is an immortal alien who can create things on a whim. His wife died during the original attack. He brought her back as sort of a holographic image of her. And then he obliterated the alien race that attacked him in the first place, to his great regret. He committed genocide, all because he lost control for a little bit over the woman that he loved. And it's a wonderful little mystery. It's probably the first really great episode. Q Who is a good episode, but it's kind of a season 2-5. I really love Survivors. I think the script works so well. Michael Piller was involved in the script. It's very early. It's very clean. The guest performances are wonderful, and the resolution is fantastic. It's the first time I remember this show really getting to an ethical issue and not beating you over the head with it. You know, you're left at the end to sort of consider, as Picard says, they can't judge this alien. He's obviously, he's sort of above and beyond what they can even conceive of. But he has great regret about what he's done, and has to do with the ethics of characters like that. And it's interesting when Star Trek goes down that route. Number three, Sarek, the underappreciated gem. A wonderful, wonderful episode. I talked a lot about this in the beginning, so I won't go too heavy. But just worth it alone for the Picard scene. Sarek comes back. Mark Leonard, I believe, is the actor's name. Makes a return appearance. They don't hit you over the head with the fact that he's Spock's father. Spock's name is mentioned only once, but it's a great little emotional thing that really builds to a couple wonderful scenes at the end. Really, brings to light me the fact that the Vulcans are probably one of the most interesting species the show has done. And all in all, it's just really, really, really strong. I'd recommend it. The second best episode of season 5. So we've got two left, right? If people are keeping close tabs, we have two left. You have Yesterday's Enterprise, or you have Best of Both Worlds Part 1. Those are the two. So for my second best episode of Season 5, I'm going to go with The Best of Both Worlds Part 1. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful plotted script. Everything works really, really well. There's a reason why it's considered one of the best stories. For me, it's... And the criticism here is really just because I have to justify Yesterday's Enterprise. The criticism for Best of Both Worlds is that it feels a little bit more dated at this point than Yesterday's Enterprise. The Borg haven't aged as well as the story in Yesterday's Enterprise. And the fact that it is not really a full, complete story, which isn't the fault because we're grading these on a one-episode-by-one-episode basis, but the... Best of Both Worlds Part 1 is pure energy, sort of building to that climax, which is fantastic. And the second part resolves a lot of the emotional questions. But I wish the first part as a whole episode had a little bit of that emotional stuff that they don't really get to. It's not a fault of the episode. It's because of the way that they're split into two parts. But I think as a single unit of storytelling, it doesn't quite meet Yesterday's Enterprise. So Best of Both Worlds, second best episode of the season. One of the best episodes of Trek. And obviously, Yesterday's Enterprise is the best episode, in my opinion, of season 3. It is elegant, elegant, elegant. I talked about this before. It's just everything in that script makes a lot of sense. The way the timeline changed is so wonderful when you go back and watch it. The subtle way the characters are different is fantastic. It redeems the Yar character. The script even calls her first death unnecessary or meaningless and worthless or something like that. Resolves hers. We get some great space battles. It's paced wonderfully. It's got great guest stars. It's got a great Picard-Guinan scene. It's got the intro quote to this podcast. Let's make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise. I think it's just such an amazing script that deals with time travel, a notorious sort of thorn in the side for writers because you have a lot of things you have to think about. They do it really well. It doesn't have a lot of plot holes in it. It's clean. It hits all the emotions. It's got great scenes. It's shot well. Everything looks fantastic. Yesterday's Enterprise. It's probably going to show up in one of my top 5 episodes of the series. It's really, really fantastic. Can't recommend it enough, although I think everyone knows it at this point. So that's it. That's my best 5 and my worst 5 of season 3. All right, that's it for the season 3 wrap-up. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm having a lot of fun going through these episodes. It's been wonderful getting to season three and actually hitting a lot of the fine, wonderful episodes that the show is actually known for and getting out of the drudgery of season one and two. So I hope you guys are appreciating. I hope you guys are enjoying it. I appreciate you listening. If you enjoyed the content and you're on YouTube, a like and a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, a rating or review helps get the show out there. We're going to continue season four, onward and onward. Everyone from who has joined the show the past couple seasons is going to come back. I want to thank everybody who's helped. It's Clay, Sean Cordy, Tana, Christian, Modi, of course, Amy. Ooh, if I'm forgetting anyone, I'm sorry. It's because I don't have a list in front of me. But everyone has been a great big help helping me get through this. It's a lot more work than I thought it was going to be, but it's been a lot of fun. And I'm enjoying watching all these episodes over and over again. So thank you guys again. And I'm going to be back very shortly with the Best of Both Worlds Part 2 conclusion. Clay and Sean are going to come back. We're going to wrap up that one. And then we're going to move into Family, which I consider the unofficial Part 3 of Best of Both Worlds. See ya.